Hey everybody, Craig Walter here, coming to you with your December 5th edition of Project 4-4. We are tackling the entire book of 2 Corinthians in just 2 days. Part 1 was yesterday, where we went through chapter 9, and today we're going to look at what is happening then starting in chapter 10. Well, the tone of Paul's letter to the Corinthians really changes in chapter 10, and it changes abruptly. The issue of Paul's authority, which you might remember seemed to be settled earlier in this letter, has again been raised. Paul goes on the defense, really, against someone who has apparently been attacking him. And, this church in Corinth is just a group of people who seem to always have dissension, always have infighting. In some ways, they remind me, or this church reminds me, of our American culture, because they always seem to resist leadership. They always seem to challenge authority. And as Americans, of course, that we know that that's a big problem in our culture as well. So maybe we can relate a little bit. The charges that are being made by the critics back in Corinth seem to be as follows. First, that Paul is not really an apostle, or at least, at the very least, he's not worthy of being followed as the men in Corinth that Paul kind of calls super apostles in chapter 10, verse 12. Even worse, in chapter 10, verse 7, they seem to indicate that Paul might not even be a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus. And then we see in 12:16 that they charged him that he caught the Corinthian believers by maybe means of trickery, or somehow Paul exploited them. Well, then finally in chapter 10, verse 1, the claim is being made that while Paul is really bold when he's away from them, but he's very timid in person. So very personal attacks, and Paul's basic response to all this criticism is very simple. He challenged them to read the evidence of his life. He says, hey, compare me with whoever you like, and then you decide who is worth following. You know, it makes me think, if I had an audit done on my entire life, would I be willing to put it on display for everyone to see? Do I represent Christ really well? Would my life hold up under such scrutiny that when someone challenged me about being a follower of Jesus, I would say, hey, look at my life as a follower of Jesus. And then you decide if Jesus is worth actually following. Well, you know, when that happens to us, the best defense that you and I can ever have is this open testimony of the kind of life that we live. There's nothing better. In fact, Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, Paul similarly says, please examine the fruits of my life and compare that with my adversaries. Then you guys be the judge. You decide who is really worthy of following. Well, it's in the middle of Paul's defense here of himself and really Jesus that we read in chapter 12, verse 7, about what Paul calls his thorn in the flesh. Which he actually literally says, he calls his messenger from Satan. And before we attempt to identify that thorn in the flesh, there's a couple things here that are really, really important, I think, to note. First is that Satan is manipulating this thorn to destroy or at least hinder Paul. But the second thing is that we see that God is standing really essentially right behind Satan. And we see that God is allowing this to keep Paul from being becoming conceited, to always remind Paul of who he really is. And he's not using this thorn to hurt Paul, but to bless him. In 12:9, we see that there's a great lesson for Paul when Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I think God knew that Paul, like many of us, was susceptible to getting a big head. It would have been very easy for Paul to lose sight of Jesus and really want the spotlight in this ministry on himself. Yet this thorn in the flesh kept Paul humble. It kept Paul depending on God. Now, what a blessing that turned out to be in Paul's life. Well, there's a couple of different schools of thoughts regarding the nature of Paul's thorn in the flesh. The first one, a first view is that it was a recurring demonic attack of some sort. The phrase messenger of Satan certainly lends credibility and strength to that view. I think the most common view, however, and probably the view that I hold personally, is that this thorn in the flesh was just some sort of a physical ailment in Paul's life. Now, we'll never really know what it was, but it was probably some sort of a health problem that weakened him and probably limited his abilities to some extent in ministry. Some believe that maybe Paul had reoccurring attacks of malaria. Others think that Paul had maybe some sort of a chronic eye problem, which, besides being very painful, would obviously limit his ministry to some extent. There is some evidence for that view in the New Testament. In one passage at the end of a letter, when Paul's closing, he signs his name, and he says, "See with what large letters I have signed my name." Well, whatever it was, and we'll never know for sure until we get to heaven, God used it for good, and he did not heal Paul from it, despite in verse 12:8 Paul saying that he pled with God to take this away. So in these final chapters of 2 Corinthians, we see really two different sides of Paul. We see Paul as this amazingly godly man whose life represented Jesus impeccably. And yet we see Paul as a man who, like us, had struggles and had problems, issues that he literally pled with God over. So Paul is a great example for us of what it looks like to follow Jesus, what a relationship with Jesus looks like. May God's blessings be on you as you finish your reading the New Testament this Christmas season.